This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, greetings and Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we welcome you to our Christmas special. This is Biblical Family Life Practical, and we have the extended family with us tonight.
Yes, we are here at James, all our friends. Say hello, guys.
Here you go. Not all of our friends. There's a friend.
There's
a friend. Okay, so.
So anyway, today, mission for many years, we've gathered together and brought our friends and our church family in, and we've gone caroling. Tonight, we didn't get to go out because it's pouring rain, so we're going to carol for you guys instead. But it's really neat because caroling is one of those traditions we need to preserve.
Really neat because if you read over the hymns in the Christmas, you see a lot of theology in there. Tremendous amount of theology, and it's one of the reasons we sing all the verses, you know.
Well, but, if you sing We Three Kings, and you sing the first verse, it is incredibly long. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, that's encouraging.
Yeah, but if you sing the rest of it, it's incredibly powerful.
Right.
Because you know, if you look at the different verses of We Three Kings,
mm-hmm.
it describes a king. It describes the Christ as the office of, in the office of king.
Right.
And then frankincense to offer of I, it describes the deity.
Yeah.
Myrrh, bearing his sacrifice for our salvation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then glorious now, behold him arise, God accepting that sacrifice.
Exactly.
First fruit of those who believe.
Right. Well, the neat thing about the caroling tradition is it's the time of the year where you can knock on strangers' doors with a mob of people and bellow to them and they thank you.
And they say, please, can you sing just one more? Or, hold on, get Grandma.
And so that's why we've been doing this for several. How long have we been doing this?
I don't know.
About 10
years?
I think we started and moved here, didn't we?
Yeah, I think
so. So it's been at least 10 years, I think. We had some unseasonably warm weather this past week, and it broke today.
Yes.
And today it was raining. Well, why don't we just bring the party indoors, and we will just share our time of celebration and worship here with you and hope you're encouraged as well.
So, we can talk some more.
Okay, how about Hark?
Okay.
All right, we'll do Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
All right, so Matthew, you want to start us off tonight?
Sorry, not present. Dad.
He's not present.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's pick a fish and go. You got it? It's just the second one in the batch, okay? Hark the Herald Herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Be on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joy along ye nations cry, and the triumph of the sky. With heaven proclaim, Christ is born in Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Laid in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin womb. Hailed in flesh the God he is, hailed incarnate deity. Pleased with earth in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavens of peace, hail the Son of righteousness, light and love to all he brings with healing in Request the second one.
I'm going to let the people listening give us requests too.
Well,
so, guys, if you want to request
chat
something
over
on the chat,
yeah,
we'd be glad to sing it too. Yeah. I'd like to, oh, I see we've got listeners in Missouri and Hawaii,
yeah,
and Iowa online.
Oh,
so
that's
very
great.
Cool.
Excellent.
Okay, so why don't we sing We Three Kings, as we talked about?
Uh-huh.
That is the one that epitomizes to me the foolishness of singing the first verse and stopping.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've got a reputation for singing all the... Anyway, that's one of the reasons why, just like you described there. So, this one, hey, ooh, tap in the chorus, I'm seeing, what, 4, 5, 6 verses on this? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Is Matthew back yet? Matthew is our pitch pipe.
Yes, Matt has near
our son, the tuning fork. How would you pitch this one, son? Okay. Why don't you start? Because I don't know if that's what you're giving me.
Give me a second.
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, deep and far, and more and now following yonder star. Oh, star on their star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide to thy perfect time. Lord of King on Bethlehem's plain, oh, crown him again, King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense on the deity high, prayer and praise, voices praising, worshiping God on high. Oh, star on bar of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect life. Courage mine is bitter perfume, breathes a love of stirring bloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still leading, guide us to thy perfect life. Glorious thou, Nehemiah, arise, King God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, and to the earth and sky. Star with royal beauty bright, rest worthy, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect mind.
Amen.
I love that song, Hal.
Yeah, that's great. All right.
You know, one of the best things I love about Christmas is our Christmas tea. I think we should share that recipe with them. But so, guys, get a pen and a piece of paper, and after the station break, we'll share that recipe with you.
Do we have a station break?
We have one coming up in about 3 minutes, and we can talk for a few minutes.
Well, or we could sing one more.
Oh, a bit.
Okay.
You know, I think that one of the most important things about Christmas is that it fills the senses.
Uh-huh.
There's certain tastes and smells and sights that will bring back those Christmas memories. And it's important that we share the important things about Christmas, the stories of children.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we've talked about that because it is biblical, although we're not commanded to celebrate Christmas, yet it is a biblical thing to celebrate God's goodness in our lives. There's plenty of examples in Scripture where we're commanded to feast, to drink the sweet and to eat the fat, and to enjoy the blessings that God's given us, even in the physical realm, as we remember the blessings He's given us spiritually as well. And this is a very rich time of year for us.
Well, it's a time of year that lends itself naturally to building memories, and memories that our children are going to be impacted by this, by their senses as they grow through life. And hopefully that will connect with the stories that we've told them. You know, one of the things I love is decorating with greenery, and that's something that's become very controversial among Christians.
Has it? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of Christians don't use greenery because they think it has pagan origins. Now, I was very interested to find out that it does not, that the origin is a Christian one.
Okay, and who was that? Remind me. Okay.
You know, we found that out several years ago. It was a blessing story. Don't point that thing toward me. I've got this thing cranked way up.
Oh.
Because when some of my friends started questioning it, I started doing some research and finding out the difference. And the story was book. And so I wanted to share that story with you really briefly because that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the first signs of the Christmas is the appearance of decorations. And some Christians equate those traditional decorations with but actually it was St. Boniface, a missionary of the 8th century, who introduced the custom of decorating Christian homes. He was a bold, manly minister, and he confronted the pagan priests of Germany and actually went to their sacred grove where they worshiped Thor, and they cut down the center of the sacred grove on Mount Gutenberg in 723. The priests and the villagers were terrified. Sure would come down with his hammer and his lightning and would strike them dead, and nothing happened. And so many were converted that day, and they used the oak to build a church on this. Well, as he went through preaching in Germany, he was confronted with this pagan human sacrifice in the sacred grove of Germany. And one day a boy came to him desperate. My sister has been chosen as a vessel virgin. And he ran to the sacred grove, and they were the pagan priest had raised the knife into her chest. And St. Boniface was carrying a wooden cross, and he dove forward and thrust the cross caught the blade in midair. And Boniface drew back and became so angry at him, hacking down all the trees. And he told the people, there is no need for a sacrifice for sin. Jesus Christ sacrificed once for all, so that all that who repented and believed in him could be saved. And so he took Mary and he handed it to the people. And he said, this has no power over you. Take it. Display it in your homes as evidence that Christ's sacrifice is completed and you have no need of a sacred grove.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened at Christmas time, which he shortly told them that, about Advent. And he, as they became converted, he told them, this is the season of Advent when we celebrate that Christ blessed. And so in Germany, which is where we get the tradition of the Christmas
yeah.
tree and the tradition of Christmas greenery, it was evidence of Christ's completed work, that we didn't need those in the forest to worship, that Christ was the complete sacrifice. And so people connected that with decorating at Christmas. That's an awesome tradition to keep.
That's pretty neat. Okay. Well, I think, is this about the time for a...
I think it's a station break.
Yeah,
let me...
Plug in one of our station breaks there, and we'll...
We will be right
decide what to sing
back
next.
With you with a short commercial break. Here we go.
It's not always easy having sons. Teenage boys put away a startling amount of groceries. Younger boys can be downright destructive. They're noisy, unconcerned with hygiene, and the dog has a longer attention span. Or so it seems, some days. If these are God's chosen gifts to us, and we believe that they are, then why does it seem so hard? How can we prepare these boys to serve God when we can barely make it through the day? Isn't there a better way? The answer is yes. Raising Real Men, Surviving, Teaching, and Appreciating Boys by Hal and Melanie Young is a practical, award-winning guide to equipping the hearts and minds of boys without breaking or losing your own. John Rosemond says, this is just what the doctor ordered for parents who want to raise capable Christian men of character. Raising Real Men by Hal and Melanie Young. Visit it on the web at raisingrealmen.com. Brought to you by Great Waters Press.
Welcome back to Making Biblical Family. I'm Melanie Young, and we are here at our Christmas special live from our annual caroling party.
Yep.
Now,
yes,
I told you I was going to share a recipe with you, so if you have a pen, I will scoot down here and find Granny's Christmas tea. This was Hal's mom's tea, and it is our favorite thing to drink during the Christmas season. Had several glasses tonight. Okay, you got your pens ready? It's 2-quart tea, and we just use a regular black pecan, like you make iced tea with, but you can also use herbal orange if you don't like the caffeine. 2 cups of sugar, 6 tablespoons of lemon juice, piece of 3 lemons, 1.5 cups of orange juice, about 3 oranges, a apple juice, and you take, you mix all that up, and I recommend that you put the sugar in while the tea is hot before the juices so that it completely melts, and take spoons of whole cloves and steep them in a cup of boiling water for about 10 minutes and then pour it into the tea. Really delicious.
You strain the cloves out.
Strain the cloves out.
Right.
Yes.
No tea.
No.
Okay.
But it's really delicious. Really
that is good.
And
yeah.
That makes about a gallon. And that's something we drink all during the Christmas season.
Yeah.
So before him, what are we going to sing next?
Well, we're going to sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And I tell you what, I think about this. One thing, Christmas music, I think about my childhood. You know, you sing these things every year, so you become familiar with them. But oftentimes, you learn them before you understand them. And it helps, you know, as parents, it helps to kind of point things out to our kids, like, hark the herald angels sing. The angels are not singing hark. That's a call for us to pay attention. Listen, hark, angels singing. Okay, that's what that's about. And God rest ye merry gentlemen. I was wondering, you know, how does God rest ye merry? I don't understand what that merry resting is about, but it's not. It's a blessing on the merry gentlemen is what this is. But I like this, and I think it's a good one to follow up the tea recipe.
All right, and that's on page 27 in Christ Centered Christmas, if you're along in the book.
Yeah. Okay, Matthew? How about give us two
numbers?
That's it. Let's go.
God bless ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from sailor's power when we were gone astray. So tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. In Bethlehem, child, this blessed babe was born, and laid with the manger upon this blessed blessed morn. The witch's mother Mary, sing Jacob's corn. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort joy. From God our Father of blessed occasion, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not, since angels have come to uprise. This day is born a Savior, a Savior, virgin bride. To free all those who trust in Him from sin's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. The shepherds tidings rejoice in much in mind, and left their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storm, and wind. And to Bethlehem way the Son of God to find. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. To Bethlehem they came, to they found Him there where oxen feed on hay. His mother Mary kneeling unto the day. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and lift your love and brotherhood, each other now embrace. This holy tide of praise all others doth to face. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. God bless the ruler of the house and send him home to reign. And may a merry Christmas may live to see again. Among your friends and kindred and live with. And we are God send you a happy new year, happy new year, and God send you a happy year.
Amen. Thank you. Blessing on me at the end. That was not intentional, but thank you. Okay. That's good.
Let's talk to him about what actually Chris these kids.
Okay.
The different things we do. One thing we do is we tell people to come and we gather in our front yard.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you've got a lot of children, you don't want to bring everybody in, get them undressed, get all their coats and stuff off, and then back up. That, although that's not a problem this weekend. It's been 80 degrees in North Carolina this week.
Yeah, I think it was set today. And it's supposed to be like 40-something tomorrow.
Yeah, it is.
So we got a cold front coming.
It is south, but it's not warm. You know, I saw a cartoon last week.
Yeah.
And it said, winter clothing in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And it had one day you dress in a parka, the bathing suit, the next day, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, we were thinking at church yesterday afternoon, you know, it was so spring-like outside. I wonder what the weather's like in Saskatoon. And we looked it up. The weather in negative 22 degrees Fahrenheit and negative
35, I think.
Something like that. So there was some...
And falling, I should mention.
Yes.
It's getting colder.
So we our trip to Saskatoon winter, and we're glow right now. So
seriously, okay. I like living in the south.
If you're listening to Saskatoon, mm-hmm. God bless you. Have a happy new year.
We had a great time in Saskatoon this year. Yeah. That was a huge blessing. Anyway, we gather in the front yard, and then now we have so many people come to our caroling parties.
Well, we divided it up this year because last year I think we had like 75, didn't we?
Oh, we had.
We had a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
And so last year we divided up into groups. And the people who like to walk a long way went off in a group and they.
Yeah, they went further out in the neighborhood.
They probably sang at 50 houses.
And us older folks who had the excuse for smaller children to just stayed in the blocks around our house here. But
yeah, and there's always some people at the house. They're not feeling well, or they've got a bad knee or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we go out and try to have everybody print out the words in advance, because it's really helpful if everybody knows the words. Because, again, it's those middle verses that share the gospel.
Yeah.
So then we go and you look for houses that are lit up, that have the doors open or that have the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And not as soon as someone, as you can tell, someone's at the door to start. Because it's a little terrifying to look out your window and see 100 people in your front yard.
Yeah, we're not used to that. We don't normally see that here. Yeah.
Although it's a riot. So as soon as we can tell that they're engaged, we start. And it's amazing. There's no matter what kind of people, they must always respond incredibly grateful.
Well, and it works especially well if you run up on somebody that has the a party already in progress.
Yeah, John Calvin, why don't you come tell about that?
Yeah. Point that out.
Just went caroling Saturday. Teenagers.
Yeah, the
great little group, about, oh, I don't know, 12 or 15, and late teen-somethings, and a few very little ones who went to. And we've been walking for about a mile and a half and hit about a dozen good houses. And cutting down the street, we saw a vast welter of cars in front of a house and said, you know what? That looks like a party. The thing about parties is not a commitment. They want you to sing even more. So I figured that was a great opportunity. Got to the house and got close to realize it was a loud party. We stood on the curb and a big kind of rough-looking guy in leather wandered down the steps to the red Solo cup and down to his bike to South Alabama.
Red Solo cups are not a good sign.
Yeah, at least down here that usually includes something iced tea. Let's put it that way. Anyway, it might be a little bit of a loud party, but we're a large group, and, you know, it's the gospel. So we hiked on up towards and all arranged ourselves on the front lawn and then sent somebody up to knock on the door, and soon they launched into Silent Night. Said, ooh, we just heard from behind us. And the big guy comes on the motorcycle. Yeah, you'll stay right here. I'll get everybody out here to hear you. So we just kept singing Silent Night, a couple verses. Party onto the front porch, like 12 people standing on their little stoop, and sat there just singing along a bit on the courses, including some of the ones that aren't so well known, all the way through Silent Night and Hark the Herald, and then about what us to sing, oh, come all you faithful. And when we finished all that, they said, well, we want to sing you one. They sang, we wish you a Merry Christmas. The street. Oh, so it was a rousing success.
Oh, that's cool. But yeah, you know, when you knock on that door,
right?
You know, what kind of response you're going to get. But, you know, the Lord promised that His word would not return void.
Yeah. Right. So why not take this opportunity? This is a very easy way to do it. Now, I'm just curious. Let me ask y'all here. Where I grew up, people did not go caroling. This was just some wild idea that we got trying, and we enjoyed it. It's been a blessing to us. How about the rest of you? Did any of y'all go caroling as children or as young adults? Was that your tradition? I know you're my son. Of course you did. Yeah, you don't count in this case, okay?
We tend to get a group from the church and go around and shut into the house, into the nursing homes and those type of places and carol for them. But just through a general neighborhood and do it, no, we didn't.
We
would carol at
what part of the country?
Oh, Indiana.
Okay.
Indiana. You might say else?
Just nursing homes.
Just nursing home kind of thing.
It's a friend time in high school. We went out to a neighborhood.
Name.
I remember once or twice when we were in California. I mean, I was really little, but once or twice in California, we went with a group of friends caroling.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
how did that go? In California, and that's a different kind of culture out there.
No, went fine.
It went well. Excellent.
Well received.
I remember on Sunday morning in California, people would look at you like, why are you dressed up? Is there a funeral or something? Never seen it cross people's minds that you might go to church. Very different. Guys, actually, we do have somebody who looks like they are in cartoon.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
About 9 degrees this morning. Yeah.
Is there... Celsius or real temperature?
I saw last night. Wrong. Probably -9 Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, there's somebody online here who says their mom is in Cape Town, South Africa, 80 degrees there.
Oh, yeah.
So I heard yesterday of a crew of U.S. doing a Christmas dinner on an ice floe in Antarctica, but it was warm enough above the ice that some of them were in shorts.
Oh.
That is...
That's
okay.
Bizarre.
Very South Pole. Wow.
Okay, guys, it's time for another station break.
Okay.
So we will be back with you in just about 60 seconds.
That's right.
We have a commercial coming, and then we'll be right back. Please stay with us with Hal and Melanie Young at Making Biblical Family.
Jarrah was a slave in Egypt. It was a dangerous place to be. The work was exhausting, and her family was torn between the gods of the Egyptians and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And her brother, would his Ada be given in marriage to an Egyptian in the palace? Would they ever be free? Adventure, excitement, love, and faith come together when Jarrah and her family find themselves at the culmination of 400 years of history in A Cry from Egypt, the historical novel by Hope Auer, selected by David Quine's Cornerstone Curriculum and the Tapestry of Grace program, endorsed by Rob Shearer of the Schaefer Study Center. Order your copy from the website, acryfromegypt.com. Brought to you by Great Waters Press.
Hello and welcome back to Biblical Practical with Hal and Melanie. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we are here live with our friends from church and the community, and just all of our associates here for our annual caroling party. And inclement weather has driven us in, but they are sharing the time with us when we normally would be broadcasting. And so we're going to be caroling to the end.
And we're delighted to be celebrating Christmas with friends. Mm-hmm. Hello, Julia. And those folks that are so faithful to listen to our program. Mm-hmm. Even though Hal, a real story, it is 90s now.
Yeah, they're on the backside of this cold front.
They are.
I knew that.
It may be they're here.
Okay.
And they're talking about online our boot camps coming up. We've got a camp 9 to 12 starts in January. That's for parents of 9 to 12 year old boys.
Yeah, frankly, we found that's a really effective do it because of all the busyness and survey season. People sometimes get rubbed a little eyes. You know what? I don't really understand my young sons as well as I thought, or maybe they don't understand me.
And
something maybe I need some eye. And so, yeah, that's one of the reasons we do the boot in January. And
yeah. We're also going to be doing marriage retreat online.
Yes. What date do we have to start that?
It's
website.
Mid-January, raisingrealmen.com. /marriage retreat. You know, what people love to do, put the kids or set them up with a video and fix a special dessert or a dinner together and eat together while they visit the marriage retreat.
Yep.
And, you know, the cool thing about it is you can marriage retreat without dinner.
Right.
Or leave your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. And it's good to just take and say, I'm going to clear the decks. I'm going to spend an hour and just think about, or 2 hours, and just think about our marriage. You know, or whatever it is, or whichever issue. So, yeah, I think that's a good time. I know we've had over 300 couples involved with the boot. The marriage retreat, we've only done a couple of times so far. We're still building that.
I really wish I had known that stuff in the boot camp when John Calvin was that old. John, you were a terror. I'm serious. 11 years old, you get kind of a complete different. Yeah, it was pretty tough. But now, I mean, now he's a godly Christian young guy.
Yeah,
then in college, it's awesome.
Yeah, so see, he survived it.
Yeah, you'll survive it too, folks.
That's right. Okay.
Gray, maybe Gray.
Who, him or us?
No, maybe both.
I'm just bald. That's all. I'm just going bald. But, yeah.
John, you thought you were going to, I thought I was going to jerk you bald-headed too.
Yeah, we are from the South. Okay, so.
Yeah, that's what they say around here. I'm going to jerk you bald-headed.
I'm going to snatch you bald-headed, son. Someone asked during the break, they asked if we could sing Come Emmanuel.
Oh, I love that one.
Now, that is actually in Latin. I don't have the Latin words, so we're just going to have to wing it with the
Oh, I know. What a shame.
But, yeah.
Anyway, that is a very old one. It's one of the oldest Christmas carols.
Yeah. Yeah,
the
it
words
is.
are 700 years
old.
And the tune is 500 years old. It was a grand chant.
Okay.
And so it's really interesting. And the words come almost entirely from the Word of God. It's really awesome. That's a really cool song. Are we going to sing all of these? We're famous for singing them all. Are we going to sing them all?
What do you think? You want to sing the whole thing?
Yeah.
Everybody? All right.
Okay.
That's the spirit. We got it.
Okay, let me crank
the message without the full richness.
Okay,
I'm
going to
crank it.
That's
we don't
right.
blow
somebody,
everybody out.
Somebody
whack Matthew and see what that's been doing.
Okay, that's good. We like that one, right?
Oh, come, O come, Emmanuel, you do well, and ransom captive Israel. Until the Son of God appears, rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come again, for Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, who order nothing unbelieving, to us the God show. And teach us in the ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, welcome to thee, O Israel. O come down of Jesse free, thy and I'm from depths of hell I keep people safe. Victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Come, they spring of here. I sit by thy hand and hear. Disperse the gloomy cloud and dark shadows flow. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, to Israel. O come, thou King of David, come, and open thy dark heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path through misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Oh, come, oh, come, great Lord of mine, who to God's side, in ancient times gave the law, in cloud and majesty and all. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, you have come to thee, O Israel. From the root of Jesse's tree, and then of thy before the ruinous island fall. All people on thy mercy call. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, these nations bind in one the hearts of all men. When thou art at division, see, and he's the king of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Oh, that is beautiful.
That is good. Yeah, interesting thing, just a side note, musical note on that. This is one of the only hymns in a minor key. If you ever thought about that. There's only a few in most modern hymn books that are in a minor key.
Yes, you're right.
That's a fairly recent development because, you know, the old hymnals back in the 1800s had a lot of things in a minor key. But in modern times, we've got this idea that minor key is very solemn and kind of, you know, thoughtful and in some ways. And really, it shouldn't be.
Well, you can't characterize most modern Christian people.
Well, that's true, Mark.
Unfortunately.
But I just think that's interesting. One of our Christmas celebrations, that's a call to rejoice, really.
Yeah,
it's just a very strong sound to it. But. So who we got in the chat window
well,
here? I'm not
got,
reading that.
We
just
have got
anybody
friends
else?
From all uh-huh. over. You know, mm-hmm. I share one more recipe with them.
Oh, okay.
People really enjoyed our old juice ball tonight.
Okay.
And that is a great recipe to make with your children.
Well, that doesn't have many ingredients in it.
And it involves lots of banging and crashing around and mush with your hands.
That is true. Our little ones have a right joyful violence going on making these.
Yeah. Is perfectly all right to better but sitting there. That's crushed in the first.
Correct.
No, they don't.
Okay, that's where the little play.
Yeah, they love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it and zip it.
How crushed they are.
Be
powdered.
Powdered.
Powdered with all the wafers.
Yeah, so we have this metal mallet kitchen, and they
swing. Yeah.
Pair pop them to the table.
Right.
Ask me how I.
Okay, we learned that lesson somewhere. Okay.
Yeah. And you need a pound of sugar.
Okay.
A stick of butter, really soft. Leave it sitting out a long time.
Uh-huh.
A 6-ounce can of orange. It should be melted, but don't reconstitute. Don't add any water.
Okay.
Again, leave it just sitting out on the counter.
All right.
And then you just wang all that, you wang those
okay.
Vanilla oil.
Right.
All hands and coconut. Or you can roll them in powdered sugar, but they're best.
Yeah, I agree.
And they are really yummy.
Those
Y'all like those tonight?
Yeah.
I like those. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And the kids love to make those.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good.
You know,
I remember in 2009, I had just had a biopsy when our caroling party, and actually the tumor that I grew to the point where it was interfering with my vocal cords, and I couldn't sing for that.
I sure did.
I think it was the week I had the biopsy surgery, and I remember sitting here in the living room while everybody else went out to sing, and that was my first sign of therapy was taking effect, was my voice came back. That was a few weeks later once it started treatment, and that was a treat.
Yeah.
I feel like something positive was happening here.
That was an incredibly hard Christmas, but God met our needs.
Yeah.
Sweet and kind, too. Yeah, I think
we had three children have surgery 2 weeks before Christmas, and found out about health cancer. I was completely early at the end of my rope.
Yes.
There was nothing. I went in my bedroom and cried, and then washed my face and come back downstairs.
Yeah.
You know, because I felt like I had to be strong for Hal and the children. But do you remember, I was about hysterical, worried about gifts, and then the Lord just provided for them. And, you know, so many things happened, miracle after miracle that Christmas.
Yeah, it really felt like a lot of the trials we went through were simply to put us in a place where there was nothing that we could do, that anything that happened was going to be to God's glory.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be no other explanation, there'd be no other credit to share, it was just God at work. That was, you know, those times, you don't like those times, you don't have those times to anybody, but, you know, nobody ever says, well, folks, I mean, God's just showering out his blessings all over me, and it's sweet, and I'm growing in the Lord. I mean, you don't hear, it's the people that are coming through the trials that say, you know what, I am really learning a lot about God's goodness and care, and I think that's part of why we go through them. It's for his glory.
No discipline seems joyful at the time.
No, but the end result is a peaceable fruit of righteousness. So,
right.
Okay, so
God, be encouraged. It is time for another state.
Wow, Tempest Future.
So we're a 60-second station break. Please hang on with us.
All right.
And join us for just a few more minutes at the end. We can work to it.
Okay.
You're listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melody Young on theultimateradioshow.com.
You want more. You want it to be better. Not just good, but great. That's what we all want from our marriages. Love, romance, security, respect. We want encouragement and, well, we want happiness. Is there a way to make your marriage even better? To make it holy and happy and a lot more fun? Yes, there is. The new book by Hal and Melanie Young, My Beloved and My Friend, How to Be Married to Your Best Friend Without Changing Spouses. It's a practical, biblical look at what your marriage can and should be, and it gives you working ways to make your mate your best friend without swapping around. Available December 2013 from MyBelovedAndMyFriend.com. Brought to you by Great Waters Press.
Oh, come on, you faithful. And what was the other one?
Welcome back to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
And you are?
Melanie.
And I'm. And
this is our Christmas special.
Yes.
Here live at our end party.
That's right. Surrounded by our friends and family, because we are all one another, and we rejoice to have everybody here. And we were just talking about what do we want to sing before we sign off tonight, because the time's just kind of flown by here.
It really has.
And I've been amazed. So I hope everybody's been encouraged. We were gonna look at "O Come All Ye Faithful" and "Joy to the World." What was the other one I heard mentioned? I heard several others. Anybody else?
Now we're going to sing "O Come All Ye Faithful." Please notice the second verse, because it is, the Latin is directly from a very ancient creed.
And you know what? That's very important. We repeat these sometimes in churches, and they kind of a rote to us, but they're very rich, and they are very ancient. Came out of very real controversies over just who Jesus is and what's our relationship and our need toward God.
When you look at true Christianity versus all the counterfeits that's out there, the two things you really, that really most of the counterfeits get wrong is, who is Jesus? Is he very God and very man?
Yes.
And what must a man do to be saved?
Those are the two questions, because the cults, false religions, went wrong. If there's anything, if we add anything to our equation of salvation, if any of our efforts into it, then it's not for real. It's not for real, because we are saved by grace through faith, and that is not a result of works. It is a gift of God, and not of what we have done, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, it says in another place. So definitely that, and the nature of Jesus Christ, and that's something we need to remember as we get through the season. I mean, one of the college, sort of post-college, I guess I'd say, and he's been observing the de-evolution of the gospel play, where they simply do not accept that Jesus is unique and that he is the Son of God, not just a righteous man, not just a great teacher, but a one of a kind, the God-man, the perfect sacrifice that God for our salvation. So, well, I'll tell you what, do we have, somebody can give me the page number for O Holy Night? Okay, somebody said,
let's just start for O Come All Ye Faithful.
Well, we do O Come All Ye Faithful, but you know, sequentially, O Holy Night, it was, I think O Come All Ye Faithful comes after the night, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't know. 37 was it? I'm shuffling through here. We are singing from the song sheets we print out from our ebook, Christ-Centered Christmas, and so that's how we're kind of keeping track of where some of these things are. I think I lost a page. I'll just have to leave. Mm-hmm. Oh, what was that? No? Okay. Here, do you want it back? There you are. Flying objects in the room here. Very good. Do a holy night, all right? No? Okay. Yes, let's
do.
We're having a little debate online here.
Yeah, okay.
Is that the thing that'll work?
We need to go about 4 seconds. Drop a third.
Drop it a third? No?
Never mind. Okay.
No.
Oh, holy night, the stars are bright. Shining, it is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. He appeared and the soul found his worth. A thrift of hope. The weary one rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. All your need, O hear the angel voice, O now. For the slave is our brother, and he name all nations shall see. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus ring we, let all within us his holy name Christ is still Lord. Oh, praise his faithful father, his power and glory.
Side note on that, just for your sake, that same melody was used for one of the songs of the French Resistance, Second World War, just as a point of information, not relevant to anything, but I just throw that out.
Too cool.
What is?
Okay, you remember Julian Edsense that we stayed with last
Yes,
time?
Yes.
Well, they are online listening. They're singing along with us at the top of the lungs, and they were actually making the orange juice ball.
Oh. Okay. All right. That's funny. Okay.
Right here with us.
Do you feel like Julia Childs now or something?
Oh, very well.
Okay.
Fine.
All right. Well, how about, oh, come on, you want to sing that?
We've got 3 minutes.
I think we can do that.
Yeah,
okay.
Turn the mic around, please.
All right.
Yeah, turn it around. All right, you ready?
Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come, behold him, born the King of angels,
have a glorious Christmas with your friends and family.
Yes.
I need to turn the so people can hear us.
Oh, yes. And everyone, please take time and remember why we're celebrating, because, you know, you can just get swamped with all the busyness of it and the preparation of it. And we know that that's a trap, and yet we fall into it so easily. Do take time. Remember that we are taking the not only to have the fellowship and the fun, but to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the incredible gift that God gave us to be the propitiation for us, to stand up, to take the punishment which we earned, which he didn't, but to secure our forgiveness through grace.
We wish you
all merry.
And let's close out by singing them. We wish you Merry Christmas, folks, okay?
Okay, sure.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let tidings to you and your kin, let tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Amen.
Amen and Merry
Christmas. Thanks very much for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed it.
Merry Christmas. Merry
Christmas. And we hope we will hear from you next week. Making biblical family life practical.
With Hal and Melanie Young.
That's right. Yes. Thanks. God bless you all, okay?
See you next week.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.